Welcome back to the show. It's Wednesday, June 23rd, 2021. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez. Boy, this guy, he is buried in his phone right now. He's got his readers on. What are you looking at?
I'm reading your Gin Blossoms tweet.
No. Oh, here we go. So we're going to listen.
Looks like every car at a stoplight.
We're
going
to listen to some Gin Blossoms here. That's not a band that I would normally request Jake play.
I've never been a fan, but I think I am now.
Okay, so Jake, do you have any idea why I'm asking you to play?
No idea. No idea. I just pulled up first thing on Gin Blossoms.
Apparently, the Suns booked the Gin Blossoms to play. They played at halftime last night, right?
I like the Gin Blossoms.
Well, okay, so
they're a good 90s band. I had their first album.
Mad Max Bronkotansky, a Denver fan, apparently doesn't, because he retweeted this. Just a Denver Nuggets guy retweeted this, because Gin Blossoms said, "Who's coming out to the Suns game tonight? We're honored to be playing at halftime. # Rally the Valley." And so a guy retweeted him, a Denver fan, and said, "Leave it to the Suns to book the third blankiest band ever." It said, the curse word. So the Gin Blossoms, instead of leaving that alone, retweeted this Nuggets fan and said, "Who did your Nuggets book for tonight?" And then they retweeted again and said, "To be honest, we're playing one more game of the Western Conference Finals than the Nuggets." And then they retweeted him again and said, so this guy goes, "Nah, let's talk about your album sales instead. Your band must be in rough shape if you have time to drop C-minus trolling on a Nuggets account. Dave Grohl would never." And then the Gin Blossoms retweeted him with the picture of Suns and Four guy and says, "The royalty checks keep cashing, bud. # Gin Blossoms and Four."
Wow. That's phenomenal.
And there's the story of how Steven started to like the Gin Blossoms.
I know. Like,
right? Are you in for that?
I like the Gin Blossoms now.
Right. It's just, I just want to thank all members of the band just were there in general tweeting at this guy. So thumbs up, right?
Yeah, thumbs up. Like I said, I like the Gin Blossoms.
I just like that they asked him who the Nuggets booked for tonight's game, and then informed him they're playing in one more game than the Nuggets are in the finals. So I'm sure you like that, Mike. Mike,
I also like the fact that they're hashtagging Gin Blossoms in four.
Right. Mike, do you think that it makes me love Max Scherzer more? Now that he threatened to take his pants off to the umps.
You couldn't have loved Max Scherzer anymore.
It went up.
I think Steven was taking his pants off last night.
He was going to take his pants off in front of those umpires, wasn't he?
Yeah.
What do you... So, we'll get to the Royals. We got a whole hour with Mike Boddicker. So, what did you think of... You saw Brady Singer was getting irritated. Sergio Romo did drop trowel, took his pants down. But Max Scherzer, first of all... This looked like he wanted to kill somebody. He looked crazed. They checked him twice, and pitchers have been told to expect two inspections. But then the last one, Joe Girardi specifically asked for, and that's why Scherzer stared him down off the mound. And then Girardi comes out there and starts to challenge him. He gets thrown out of the game, and Scherzer's waving at him from the dugout. Bye bye. And look, that's a. So no one's above this. That's a future Hall of Famer, one of the best pitchers in baseball. And Girardi clearly used it a tactic to irritate him, to get under his skin. Yep. Now, it kind of backfired because Scherzer did all right, and Girardi got thrown out of the game. But now, it's going to be abused by managers. You're going to try to you think next time Brady Singer's on the mound, a manager might ask for an extra inspection?
Yeah, he got a little perturbed.
How would you have dealt with it? Would that have bothered you at all? Did you have the thick enough skin that you don't care?
Yeah, I was fine because I never had it on me.
But just to keep doing it like a third or fourth just to jack with you, would that have...
Wouldn't have bothered me.
But you know some pitchers probably that you pitch with that would have irritated. Would have irritated or got under their skin?
Well, number one, you never did it with Nolan Ryan. Nolan might have killed the umpire when he walked out.
Okay, well, some people say don't do it with Max Scherzer, but guess what? They would have done it with Nolan Ryan. He might have punched somebody.
He might have. Clemens would have snapped,
Clemens would have taken some of his steroids.
Randy Johnson would have snapped.
What about Palmer? Palmer like that?
Nah, Palmer was. Nah, he wouldn't have.
Who on the Royals would have snapped?
Tim Belcher?
Oh, definitely. Belcher would have snapped in a heartbeat. Yeah.
He was already mad.
Yeah, he was. No matter how good he did, he was still mad. It was kind of like Kurt Gibson in, as a hitter. No, he didn't matter.
So you're seeing this play out now as a former starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. What's your reaction to this and how this is going?
Same
so
thing
far?
I thought last week. It's stupid. It's really stupid. They can check the pitchers all they want to. All they have to do is give it to the position players. They're going to start checking every position player and drag the game down even more? I never had it on me, ever. Third baseman did. Catcher did.
Doesn't matter. Some of these managers are going to ask for the pitcher to be inspected again just to get under their skin.
Sure.
Just to irritate.
Oh, Dave Steeb would have killed Dave Steeb.
Right, because there are pitchers you can get to.
Oh, yeah. He could get to them very easily. Yeah.
It seems like Singer could be one of those guys, right?
Sure could.
Yeah. The tough part with Singer is...
I'm just worried that... I mean, you get so many guys throwing 96, 97, 98 miles an hour with no feel on their... Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's really going to get hurt. Hey, they're wild enough anyway, let alone losing a little bit more control. That scares me. Somebody's going to get hurt on this.
Oh, you're not the only one saying it. You're not the only one talking about that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Scherzer said it again yesterday after the game.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
He almost hit somebody with a 95 mile per hour fastball.
Yeah, you catch somebody the side of the head or the jaw or neck. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Did you hear Duffy yesterday?
Uh-uh. I didn't hear it.
He's all for it.
No, play Danny Duffy.
What? I think it's great. I think if you're cheating in baseball, you know, you should be reprimanded for it. I've never in my entire career used anything to enhance my grip aside from the bag behind the mound. And I think if you have a competitive advantage, whether you frame it as you need help gripping the baseball, or you know you're using it to get your spin rate up. Dude, I didn't even hear about spin rate until like 2015, which tells you everything you need to know about me. I'm not sitting here blasting anybody, but I think it's great what baseball is doing. I think it's awesome. And we need some help being better that doesn't involve the weight room or your throwing program or doing research, looking at video, then I think that's messed up.
There you go.
You're not going to get checked on the IL.
Danny Dup.
Whoa. Pow.
There it is.
This is Jim Blossom's Twitter account
it
over here.
Is.
Wow. Jake just left the studio. Yeah. Left the control room.
Just drop the microphone and walk out. I'm laughing because I thought the same thing.
That's Alberto Mondesi.
He's pitching tonight.
Oh, man.
Duffy's pitching tonight.
For how long?
I don't know. How do I know?
At least a couple starts.
So you don't agree with him that it's great what baseball is doing?
I don't think so. I think so. It's just going to add to the length of the game. And if it's going to get to the point where the pitchers are going to have it on the position players, any infielder, any catcher, and Joe West might even have it on him and help out a little bit. We don't know. Just so he can do something.
Get some attention.
He needs that stage.
So, no, it's ridiculous. No. The issue is, like I said, I'm afraid somebody's going to get hurt. These guys throw way too hard. I mean, if the ball felt slick in my hand, I was afraid. My big thing was, I hit a lot of people, and I hit a lot of people on purpose. But I didn't throw hard enough to really hurt anybody, and I'll guarantee you I never came up around anybody's head. It was always from the armpits down. You know, you don't mess up in there. You hurt somebody bad, take away their career. Do we really want that? Guys are throwing too hard, and they don't have that great a command anyway. No, I'm sorry. I would rather have somebody with a little something to get a grip on the ball.
It's almost like they shouldn't have done it in the middle of the season.
It's like everything else. They'll find a way around it.
What about the fact that Gerrit Cole's spin rate was the lowest it's been in 4 years?
Don't really care. He still went seven and gave up three hits and two runs.
It wasn't
big
against
deal.
The Royals, though.
Yeah. So in the article from Bradford Doolittle at ESPN, he said, if MLB expected a smooth integration of its newest guidelines into the flow of its games, that appears to be unlikely. Well, what a shock that is. Just ask anyone who saw Tuesday's game between the Phillies and the Nationals. Scherzer was inspected three times for the use of a foreign substance on the baseball during his five-inning outing against Philly.
Three times.
The first two inspections coming after the first and third innings were part of the new normal, as starting pitchers have been told they can expect two inspections per outing. It was the third inspection, which was instigated by Philly manager Joe Girardi, that set off a firestorm. Scherzer said, these are Manfred rules. Go ask him. I've said enough.
You know how I feel about our commissioner. I just...
Well, say it.
Stupid stuff. The stupidest stuff that they're trying to get into baseball. Baseball is going to go under if they keep doing this garbage. People don't like the stuff they're doing. The game is not fun to watch. I mean, they talk about, oh, you know, we need to speed up the game. We need to, really? And you're going to do this and you want to speed up the game? No. That's not going to work. This is crazy. Crazy, stupid stuff. Nah. Again, I'll go back to take the pine tar away from the hitters then, and the sticky stuff on their hands and the batting gloves and anything else that gives them an advantage. If you're going to do it all the way across the board. Stop it.
Do you think
every one of those things give a hitter an advantage?
Right.
They do the pine tar. They do the rosin. They do the batting gloves. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's wrong. And if they're just ridiculous with it, yeah, fine. You don't need that. But just to get a feel on the ball, no.
So then Scherzer also talked.
I'm with Max.
What you're saying. If you watch the Bowman bat, I almost put a 95-mile-per-hour fastball in his head because the ball slipped out of my hand. The whole night, I was sick of licking my fingers and tasting rosin. I couldn't even get sweat from the back of my hand because it really wasn't a warm night. So the only part that was sweaty on me was actually my hair. So I had to take off my hat to get any kind of moisture on my hand to try and mix with the rosin. For me, that's the confusing part because I'm just trying to get a grip on the ball.
Yep.
Two pitches later, Scherzer struck out Bowman with another fastball, took his hat, ran his hand through his hair. Girardi became animated, pointed towards Scherzer. Made the umpires, led by home plate umpire Tim Timmons, to confer on the field. They approached Scherzer, who had been watching them and laughing. So then it went from there. Scherzer tossed his cap and glove under the ground, started to unbuckle his belt as if to say, look at whatever you want. The umpires poked around and Scherzer yelled and gestured to the Phillies dugout. Girardi yelled back. Dave Martinez got involved. Scherzer stayed in the game.
They used to check guys once in a while back when I played. That's why I never had it on me.
Now so you're going to see this.
Yeah, you're going to see it. They're going to find a way around it. Trust me. It's like anything else in life. You look at the college athletes, how they work their way around stuff, and there's always going to be some, and steroids. They work their way around it. It's just
the tough part with that, though, is that does that then mean that we should just have no rules because people are going to try to cheat anyway?
Just make it difficult for them.
Well, that's what they're trying to do.
This is just going to lose more fans, going to lose more interest in the game. It's like watching the end of that basketball game last night. Seriously? Come on.
I'm with you on that.
Well, there's your replays. Does it make it better? No, it makes it terrible.
Clayton Kershaw said, I think there should be repercussions on managers if you do it on a whim like that, especially a pitcher of Scherzer's caliber. I think it looks pretty bad on their part.
I agree.
How do you know if it's a whim?
It wasn't a whim. He was trying to get under his skin is all he was trying to do. It upset him, so he lose it. And
that's the point. They've created an opportunity for the managers to screw with the opposing pitcher, even if they don't really believe.
I don't think there was a whole hell of a lot of thought process went into this when they all of a sudden decided to do it in the middle of the season and had no guidelines, really. They have no guidelines. It's just, let's do it a couple times a game and figure it out. You're going to have to check every infielder. Ball goes around the horn. Are they going to stop throwing it around in between outs? Because a catcher, I mean, they could have it on them. They're going to check all the catcher's gear all over the place, every game, twice a game, infielders, twice a game. We're talking about a five-hour baseball game, folks.
Can those guys apply enough stuff to the ball?
Oh, hell yeah. I had to throw some out sometimes that was so bad. There's too much on it.
Like when your third baseman would put too much stuff on the ball?
Yeah, it was beyond just getting a feel. It's like when I get a lot of people like to scuff the ball, you know, make it run and move. I lost control when the ball was scuffed. So I would get a ball, hit the dirt or something, or in the outfield or the infield, it had a scuff on it, I'd throw it in. I want a new ball. I didn't like that. I wanted the command. Command was my thing. I didn't throw very hard, but could throw where I wanted to. And if I lost that, you know, if you get a ball running and I'm trying to throw a fastball to the outside corner and it runs back over the middle plate, I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to throw it where I want to throw it. And I couldn't use those. A lot of people did. They use it for sink and movement. And I had just a little bit of movement on my ball. I knew exactly how much it moved, and I could throw it where I wanted to. So it didn't benefit me to scuff the ball up or put Vaseline or whatever some of these guys used. It didn't help me. I had to command the ball.
Okay, so we were discussing earlier Brady Singer, because clearly he was irritated by being checked. And it's the same question.
Well, his shoulder's all right. He threw 90-some pitches.
Well, but here's the thing. So, he left his last start because of the shoulder tightness. 93 pitches and didn't complete four innings, but five hits, five walks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I asked the question.
Command.
Is he struggling in his sophomore season because the league made adjustments to him? Is he struggling because something's going on in that shoulder? There's something going on? Or is he one of the guys that's struggling because of the new guidelines and he can't use or can't do what he's done in the past since he's got to adjust to this and it's affecting his performance?
It could be one thing. It could be all of the above. I don't know.
Well, what's it look like when he's struggling to you? Why is he struggling?
He throws the ball over the middle of the plate too often. He gets behind, and then he has to come over the middle of the plate. It's a command issue where the most important pitch in baseball is strike one. Always has been. You go after the hitter first pitch. Because there's percentages that tell you that if a guy swings first pitch, he's gonna make an out 80-some percent of the time. So most guys will take that first pitch, and you know, if it's unless it's right down Broadway on a tee, they're probably gonna take it. Especially early in the game, to see if you have your command or not. That's where it used to be. Now it's a guessing game. But, yeah, you go after hitters. You can't go 2-0, 1-0, 2-0, 3-1 on hitters and have to. That's been that way since baseball started. And you have to have command. And every week I come in, I say the same thing. It's command. It's about command. It's not about power. It's not about how much spin rate you have. It's about command. If you have command, you can pitch.
But do you think?
And part of this sticky stuff is about command.
So that's what I mean. So like, why doesn't he have command? Is it the shoulder? Is it the sticky stuff? What is it, you think?
I don't even. Does he use the sticky stuff?
I
don't know. That's the thing. I have no idea. Nobody's allowed to get in there anymore. You know. You clubhouse are, that's way off limits. So,
do you think most pitchers or most players feel like Danny Duffy or seeing the minority?
I think he's a minority, and I think the hitters are going to have, they're going to like it until somebody gets clocked upside the head with a 95. That's That's
why
that's
are hit, why are hit batsmen at an all time high right now before this though?
Lack of command.
But so
it's all about how hard you can throw. We want you to go as long and hard as you can, throw as hard as you can, and we'll get you out and get somebody else in. Well, if Nate, trust me, if you threw a ball into that door, just flipped it in, you could do it every time, every time. If you wound up and threw it as hard as you could, you'd hit that door, hit the side.
Sure.
That's the way it is.
I mean, but isn't it kind of like hard? Isn't it kind of hard for pitchers then to make the case? Well, you got to let me have the sticky stuff, or else I'll start hitting a bunch of batters. You're already hitting a bunch of batters.
Are they hitting them in the head though?
Well, I don't know about that. At least one guy's been hitting the head this year.
Well, that's it's going to be. You're going to see a lot more. Trust me.
And I mean, I just feel like
Scherzer said it. I mean.
It'd be easier to make that sales pitch for pitchers if they were actually throwing with some command with all the sticky stuff, wouldn't it?
No, they have a lot better command.
I mean, I feel like the pitchers do deserve some of the blame for this situation. I'm not saying that the Major League Baseball has handled it the right way, but pitchers have pushed the envelope too far here. Can you agree with that?
No, it's baseball in general, Nate.
Right.
It's terrible.
Right.
How things are set up from the scouting department all the way through baseball, it's all about the sabermetrics and all the other stuff. This proves this, this proves this, this proves this. They have no human element in any of this stuff. None. They just, scouts look, I've heard them say, I'll get fired if I don't give them somebody that's 6'3", 6'4", throwing 95. I can't draft a kid that can actually get people out. And we were out at the Monarchs game the other day. I talked to a Mets scout.
Oh,
and he's out there. They've already bought 10 of the Monarch players for their minor league system.
Now the Monarchs have lost a lot of players to the
and he told
leagues.
He told me that he says I go around to all these minor league places. And every manager goes, listen, I don't care who it is, who you find me. I don't care if they can barely break glass. Find me somebody who can actually throw a strike.
Right.
That's what the baseball's gotten to. They get all these kids that can throw 95 and can't get anybody out. So it's walks, hits batsmen. This is what you're getting. I don't think it has anything to do with the sticky stuff, to be honest with you. I think it's how it's worked its way through. All the way from there's videos of these kids in these programs who they're nuts. They're trying to throw as hard as they can. They jump and throw as hard as they can, then all the other kids scream because they hit 93. And it's just totally crazy. It's all about power. It's not about finesse, not about baseball. Baseball, for years, it was never really a power game. There was a handful of guys who were power guys. Other than that, no, it's more of a finesse game.
See, back in, I'll go to 2019 because last year was only 60 games, but top 10 guys in ERA as far as starting pitchers, mm-hmm. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys had an ERA of under 3. Only 8.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9 was Kershaw with a 3.03, and 10 was Morton. So you had 8 guys in Major League Baseball that had a sub-3 ERA, starting pitchers. Right? How many do you think have a... Oh. Well, right now you got 5 starting pitchers with a sub-2 ERA, and you got 23 pitchers with a sub-3 ERA. We're only,
No, those including bullpen guys.
No, this starting
just
pitchers.
Starting pitchers.
Jacob DeGrom is a .50.
Yeah.
Kevin Gausman, 151. Carlos Rodon, 183. Trevor Rogers, 187. I'm not listing off perennial all-stars, by the way. Brandon Woodruff, 194. Freddie Peralta, 211. Lance Lynn, 214. Remember Kyle Gibson opening day against the Royals? How'd he look? His ERA is 214. Scherzer's 219. Joe Musgrove's 228. Stroman's 232. Cole's 233. I mean, I don't know. What does that mean?
That means the strikeout rates are really high. Hitters really don't make any adjustments, so yeah.
And we talked about that too, like the approach of
there are so many things wrong with baseball right now that you can throw stats out there all you want to and
let me throw some more stats at you.
Discuss all this craziness that's going on. Baseball's just in a bad spot. It really is. It's just it's not fun to watch, people.
Do you want to hear Scherzer talk about?
Yeah, I would. I love Max, so I'd love to hear him talk about it.
Let's hear Max Scherzer after the game last night.
Yeah, I mean, the two checks were, I guess, normal. You know, umpires, this is new for everybody, but, hey, they're checking your hat, they're checking your glove. I mean, you're ready for them to check your hands. You know, I wasn't, just using rosin tonight, so wasn't doing anything. That's all fine. And obviously, Girardi, for me, it's, kind of confusing. If you watch the bomb at bat, I almost put a 95 mile an hour fastball on his head because the ball slipped out of my hand. The whole night I was sick of kind of licking my fingers and tasting rosin the whole night. So the only part, I couldn't even get sweat from the back of my head because it wasn't really a warm night. So for me, the only part that was sweaty on me was actually my hair. So I had to take off my hat to be able to try to get any type of, try to get some type of moisture on my hand, to try to, mix with the rosin. And so, for me, that's the confusing part is I'm just trying to get a grip of the ball. And you can even watch in that previous at bat, the ball slipped out of my hand, almost drilled something in the face.
Mike?
Yeah, you pretty much said it all right there. That was always the toughest part. And that's the only time I used pine tar was on the cold, windy nights where you just couldn't get a feel for the ball. I needed something. The rosin does nothing. When it's cold and breezy or cool and breezy, when that summer hit and it heated up, man, you could go to your forehead and touch your rosin and get a little feel of tack on your hand where you could feel the ball. Other than that, when it was nasty out, it was tough. It was really tough. I got an idea, though. So what if a guy goes off the back of the mound, pees in his hand and touches a rosin bag? That'll give him a little moisture.
Right there?
Right there. Well, they're dropping their pants
illegal,
anyway.
Mike, that's
is it?
Indecent exposure if you're pulling out your junk.
Well, it depends on the person.
No, we see basketball players do it right there on the bench. Haven't we?
Depends on the person.
Well, so what? Same thing? Pee into the towel.
Yeah, I'm all for it. More pants coming off, I'm all for it.
Are you?
Yes. Yes.
Almost having a couple
times. The pitchers look a little bit petulant with this, though.
I don't know. I think they have a pretty good reason to be petulant at the moment.
I would be pissed.
By the third time in the fifth inning?
I would be pissed.
I mean,
who looks petulant, him or Girardi?
Both of them.
And to Steven's point, he said this several times. If this is a rule going into the season, okay. You knew this was going to happen.
Go through spring training, everything else. But some teams, we knew, we prepared. You don't know until you know, and you're still going
to,
For
them to do this, halfway through the season, not even halfway through the season, and just expect these guys to make adjustments, it's like, I'd be pretty pissed off too.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody came in my job in the middle of a show and started putting restrictions on what we're doing here.
I can make that happen.
Well, and you know what? I'll be very petulant.
You wouldn't like that,
Jake
would you?
Start taking his pants off.
Would you take your pants off?
Yep.
I don't want you to do that.
That's not a bad idea now, Mike, to think about it.
Yeah.
Start peeing all over everything.
Yeah. Got to get a little moisture on my hand.
Mark your territory, baby.
That's right.
So you think the pitchers are over exaggerating? And
no, I think...
He's trying to play the devil's advocate. Figure this out?
No.
He's kind of on our side on most of this.
I think it's ridiculous Major League Baseball is changing rules in the middle of a season.
Yes.
To me, it's just absurd. That right there, period, end of statement.
Because managers will abuse it, as we've seen last night.
And if I was a manager, I would. I mean, I'd use whatever tool. Like, if I can't have no chance of touching Max Scherzer and I can get in his head a little bit, I'd do it. But I do think the pitchers deserve blame for this situation. They're not blameless in this deal. They're being pretty. I mean, I'm sorry, Major League Baseball players have a tendency to be bratty about this stuff. You know, they push the envelope. I mean, it's like your kids at home. You give them an inch, then they take a yard. And then when you try to put the hammer down and say, hey, you know what, you've crossed the line, now you're going to be punished for it, they throw a massive fit. And that's what's happened here. They've given the pitchers an inch, which is, okay, you guys need a little bit of something. You need some pine tar, you need some sunscreen, whatever you need. The whole league pretty much knows everybody's doing it. We're fine with it. And then, and it's not all pitchers, but a large group of pitchers started figuring out, wait a second, all of a sudden I can take an average curveball and make it a plus-plus curveball if I get a whole bunch of sticky stuff on my fingers. And they started taking advantage of what was being granted to them. And once they did that, the hitters started bitching about it because they're striking out all the time. They can't hit guys they used to be able to hit.
And, no, the hitters can't hit people they can ever get.
Well, look, I mean, but the numbers are worse now, Bob, than they were. I mean, he just gave you the numbers. And they are. And look, spin rate stuff annoys the hell out of me, too. But it, you think it's a coincidence that Gerrit Cole's spin rate's the lowest it's been in 5 years last night? I mean, you know, so there is something to it.
Is it a coincidence that it mattered not to the Royals? Just no, still dominant?
Like, that goes to show you right there that, like, you know, I mean, but hey, we've seen bad pitchers shut the Royals down. So it's not like that's a, you know, that's not the perfect example, but does that make sense what I'm saying? Like,
no.
This group of guys were given some leeway. They were given an inch. They took a mile, and now they're being called out on it, and so they're throwing a massive
fit. It seems
fit.
Like an overcorrection.
I haven't brought this up to Buster, and I never looked at it that way until you said it, and now I'm on your side. Okay, take away everything from the pitchers. Now take away everything from the hitters.
Take away from the hitters.
Make
you know
it
what? Even.
Don't use pine tar. No pine
even
tar.
Even playing field, correct? That's what they want. An even playing field.
Give it a
no pine tar
bags to everyone. That's it. That's all you get.
That's all you get. Figure it out.
Just give pine
no
tar,
gloves.
Everybody.
No.
No. You don't need. You don't need batting gloves. George Brett didn't need batting gloves.
You're damn right. He didn't. He needs some pine tar. So let me ask you a question. How don't you think there'd be some hitters out there who'd be super pissed off?
You betcha. Whining. Okay. Bats flying into the nets. Yeah. I'll guarantee you.
Let me ask you a question. Baseball players have a tendency to be a little bratty about this stuff.
How did George handle that situation?
Yeah.
Did he take his pants off?
Did he appear to be pissed off at all? They called him out now, but then it was a big moment in the home run.
He was
but
still. Hard. Tim was about to lose his pants.
Right. There you go.
It's kind of hard to read George's body language on that. Right. I'm not really sure what.
Yeah. Yeah, your idol went out and snapped.
And you know what?
Yeah.
And
you loved it.
And that solidified him.
You flipping loved it.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved it.
My dad never loved baseball more than that moment.
That's when baseball was great. It was fun to watch.
So this makes it great then. We got pitchers getting pissed off and dropping their pants on the mound. That's entertaining.
Hey, look,
now they're gonna reevaluate. Oh, the game is too long. We gotta do something different now. Now they'll change something else. They can't figure anything out.
They gotta limit it to one
group of people running baseball that I've ever seen.
It's
totally inept.
Checked him three times in 5 innings.
To do this how publicly they've done it.
And how about
the brutal part.
Oh,
and
God.
And you know. You know.
Check him again.
Check him.
Check his pants.
I think it's in his belt.
Yeah.
Make him take his belt off.
That's the thing. We didn't even wear a belt when I played. When I was with the Orioles.
Straight
guys,
elastic.
Guys had stuff tucked down in there. So umpires were literally making them try to. Well, I can't, so they got to unsnap. And
what did you have tucked down there?
Not much.
He was almost an underwear model. Let's not forget that.
And back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Wanted to mention that Sports Radio 810 and Chicken and Pickle present the first ever Kansas City Pickleball Championship presented by NetSmart. Wednesday, July 14th and Thursday, July 15th. You can register now at 810WHB.com. Three divisions, beginner, intermediate, and expert. Plus, we're going to have a celebrity exhibition tournament and party. You don't want to miss out. Only 32 teams are available in each division. Registration is $150 per team, which will include prizes, a welcome bag, and your chance to be crowned Kansas City Pickleball Champion. Register your team now at 810WHB.com/KC Pickleball. But if you just go to 810WHB.com right there on the front page, you've got the link. You can click if you want to be a part of the Sports Radio 810 and Chicken and Pickle Kansas City Pickleball Championship. And as far as the celebrity tournament,
Nate Buchady.
We've got a Border Patrol team.
Nate Buchady.
Nate tried, but he's been kept off this team. For some reason, he's teaming up with the Zone. Based on what I heard last time.
Yeah,
was that not what I heard in there?
Oh,
did I not hear that?
No.
I heard it. I got 2 years.
I will find my own celebrity to play with. I'm not playing with those
guys.
What
happened? What, you were in? Was that not what I was told?
That's what they try to tell me. Yeah, that's what they try to say.
That's what I heard. I thought you were playing with Lebo, and then you booted Lebo out.
You kicked Lebo right in his ass.
I played with Lebo. I scooped him right up.
I know. You snatched Lebo up. Because
I'll play with Lebo.
First, they told me I was going to have to play with the Zone guys, and I said, can I find my own celebrity? And then they said, well, you can play with Lebo. And by that point, Jake was like, I'll play with Lebo. So now I'm a man without a celebrity.
So here's what we got.
You want to play, Vaughn?
Yeah, with my back.
Can we see who we got or not?
Sure, yeah. I confirmed him yesterday. He's in.
So do you remember our friend Julian Marquez,
local product,
who's now making waves in the USC, and after one victory, he asked Miley Cyrus out, and then they started talking, so that worked out well. Mm-hmm. And then after another victory, he challenged Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes to pickleball.
I heard that.
Well, UFC star Julian Marquez will be the captain of our Border Patrol team in pickleball. He wanted pickleball, and now he's going to be on our celebrity team.
Did you pull a few strings to get him?
The string that I pulled is named Jake Gutierrez.
Jake
is our chief negotiator on the Border Patrol.
Right.
And so we had Julian Marquez
I've been
on the show.
Out of the way with people.
And we talked to him, and he was great on the air. And we say, pickleball, this is what you want. We'll get you involved. Jake extended the offer, and he accepted. And so maybe you'll play with Julian Marquez. But if you do, and I've told you this before, you got to do stuff for the show sometimes. Quit thinking about yourself always first. The show comes first.
No.
If Julian said you could be his partner, but he has to be able to submit you on TV the day of, on 38 The Spot. And any submission you want. It could be an arm bar, it could be a triangle, whatever. But that's just for the, to get people excited.
So, yeah.
Chad said, that'll get people excited. They want to watch. They see Nate go up against Julian Marquez
He's not playing with Jake. He's playing with me.
I don't know who he's playing with.
He's bringing his own guy.
Okay.
He's got his own guy.
Right.
He got a guy.
But he's going to represent us.
Yes, he's going to represent the Border Patrol.
So it's just teams of two then. I didn't know if we got
doubles. It's doubles.
I know, but in the past, don't we have like two and an alternate?
I know. I think
they can rotate in
not
or not.
Sure. I think we might be allowed more than one team for the Border Patrol.
Well, we'll make our own rules here.
Right.
And so we get
teams.
Baseball would not allow you to do that.
Well, the thing is,
I'll play with you, Nate.
And the other celebrity, wasn't there like an alternate, like we could rotate in? You need three
we
for
did
two.
That at the Volley Llama. That's
okay, so that's
Llama.
How we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. We'll have a team, and it can be Julian Marquez and his partner. But then, like, Nate could come in for, and give him some relief.
What is this, tag team?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, all right.
Nate's going to be standing by the ropes, reaching in.
And again, when we match up against the celebrity, so like if we have the Border Patrol team led by Julian Marquez, and they play the Zone, right?
Yeah.
If we've already said, the Zone said yes, Chad said absolutely. If Julian and our team beats the Zone, then we get to pick who he chokes out from the Zone.
Right.
And they agreed to it. It's great. Julian agreed to it. He's been working on new submissions he'd like to try out before he, unveils them in the octagon. And so then we get to pick, though. You could pick whoever you want off the Zone, and they've agreed to do it, which is great for charity.
I can only pick one?
I don't know. Talk to Julian.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. Let's talk to you about some things happening with the Royals now. You want to get involved in the pickleball? We'll have you out there.
No.
Can you at least be there?
Bad back.
When
is it?
Will you be there with me just to sit on the sidelines and make smart-ass comments about who's playing?
It's July 14th and 15th. The celebrity game will be on the 15th and the intermediate.
Let me check.
810WHB.com.
Go get signed up.
In all seriousness, too, one of the big things about this competition is going to be awesome. It's going to be the biggest pickleball championship in the city. And we're doing it for charity.
We're going to talk about the charity component at 8:30.
It's going to be
awesome.
I just
booked me and you to talk about that at 8:30.
Let's do it.
We'll tell you more how it's going to benefit
Is this the best city in the world?
Oh, it's the best.
You're right, man.
Number one.
Number one, Kansas City? What are you talking about?
Kansas City, I thought. I didn't know. It's just, God, they just help people nonstop. They're the
he was pretty good, though, because he said that.
You did a big damn deal earlier.
Yeah, but, I mean, you just look all year long. There's stuff going on to help people. This is the greatest city.
That's why we want you there.
I can't wait to talk, because Stephen and I both got to pick charities to do this for.
It's so awesome.
We'll talk about that at 8:30, because we have 5 minutes to talk to you. I have three things I have to ask you about. Number one, Danny Duffy starting tonight.
Yeah, how long is he going to go?
Wow.
That's the thing. I thought maybe that Bubic was going to be backing him up. Somebody's got to back him up. He's not
Jackson Kowar.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I could be, because he's going to be on a limited count and all the other stuff that, I mean.
What do you hope to see from Danny Duffy?
Pine tar. No, I command where he left off, because his command was pretty good where he left off.
If the Royals continue to scuffle and show that they're not contenders, and Danny Duffy comes back and pitches well from now until the trade deadline, do you think do you think the Royals would actually trade him, because they're very fond of Danny Duffy, or would they just ride him out to the end?
I hope they trade him.
Would you trade if he pitched well for a month? Would you trade for your contender? I would too. It depends on what if the Royals are willing. Yeah. Okay,
it's a business. I know Kansas City's amazing. Their sports teams, they hang on to guys that they love, their guys, and which is really neat.
They don't look at it as always a business. Just look at Brady Singer. They would have waited a little bit last year, then they could have saved a year of service time, but they didn't. So
so it's just, you still got to trade him if he's pitching well, and you can get a good piece to this young product we have coming up. You still got to do it. That's and I like Danny. I mean, it's
but this is what it is.
It's a business, and I remember getting traded. I didn't want to leave Baltimore when I was getting traded, and it hurt. But it is a business. You have
Boston gave up a lot to get you. They wanted you bad.
They did. They were young kids at the time, but they were really good young kids. Yeah,
if the Royals can get that kind of a haul for Danny Duffy, sign me up.
Go for it, man.
But like, love Danny Duffy, but come on.
No one knew they were getting, nobody knew what
Schilling
was
going to
be.
The bottom line is I ended up here, my home.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. That's all I care about.
Okay.
We got your smiling face in here every week.
I don't know if you saw that, you might have missed this. I know you're not on Twitter, but Modesty went back on the IL. And so,
Alberto Mondesi.
How dare you? So now what? What do you think now? I mean, I don't know. He wants to
ask
about it.
Who knows?
Just comment.
Hey, it's...
It was the other oblique, which could be related to that oblique.
Could be.
Because he... I don't know. I don't know much about his trunk.
Boy just seems to get hurt a lot.
There's really not a question here. I just wanted your reaction.
No, it doesn't surprise me. No, there's not a real big surprise. I mean, this is...
I'd be surprised if anyone was surprised.
Yeah.
Like, he went on the... What?
I understand the Royals situation. He is so talented. He's got so much ability. But gosh, you got to...
Did you hear what Keith Law...
You got to be on the field.
Did you hear what Keith Law said about him when he was on Petro?
I'm not a big...
Of Petro?
No. Oh, well, people, yeah. Well,
right.
No. Law.
Understood.
So maybe we shouldn't take this too seriously. But he said that there's hardly any value for Mondesi, not only because he's hurt all the time, but because he can't get on base. He said that
Well, when he does, though, he flies.
Yeah,
when he has that 2 week period where he just goes off, wow, it's fun to watch, but. He's not out there more than a couple weeks.
I just thought it was interesting because, like, he said it like as a definitive fact. Like, everyone in baseball agrees that the idea of him being a superstar is a fantasy. Nobody in baseball thinks
nobody else.
He made it sound like nobody outside of the Royals thinks this guy is a potential superstar.
But does that surprise you?
Well,
like, nobody. I don't think anyone thinks of him the way they do. It's wild.
Talking to some other teams that I know, nobody thinks that he's right,
and
I don't like to say that about him, but he's actually right.
He could be a really good player, but it's like again, the
if you
level
could keep him
of,
healthy, he'd be a nice piece, but he's not a superstar. That's what they're saying.
And there's nothing wrong with it. He could be a really good, solid player, but still comes short of being a MVP candidate and all this other stuff.
The way they talk about him in this organization.
It's wild.
Yes, it's crazy.
Is superstar.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Sam Mellinger wrote the whole piece about he's one of the three cornerstones they want to build the whole team around. You know, and we've heard Mike Matheny say what he said. We've heard Dayton Moore. They and even like what Merrifield said.
Even
stuff like
best
that.
Case scenario, it would be hard for him to live up to the things that they've said.
Mm-hmm.
Even if, he
even if he's healthy. Even if he's healthy, I don't think he could live up to that.
That's what I mean.
I don't think he could.
Career OPS is like 715.
And a lot of plate appearances spread out over many years now.
Yeah,
that's nothing.
That's true.
Okay, so the other.
Third.
What?
You said three things.
Oh, yeah. And look, Holland got the job done.
Yeah.
He makes it very exciting, but he got the job done. Never questioned Holland's toughness, but he doesn't have
the stuff he used to.
Right. But he gets through it. Boy, you'd love to put his mentality into some of these young arms. Get something
going. That's just the way it goes.
But, like, several times during the game last night, where's Stallmont?
Where is Stallmont?
And so now, last time he picks was June 16th.
Yep.
And it wasn't good.
And he had give up three hits and walks and a run. And then, and he's not on the IL. And last night, the bullpen wasn't really doing its job. I thought that would be I thought I'd see him. And so, like, I don't know. He had a dead arm.
Yeah.
The knee sprain.
Mm-hmm.
And again, something else. And I know people don't want to hear it, but you have to at least. Someone tweeted this, and as someone that is still me, I'm still going through several complications post-COVID, even though it's been several months since I had it, and I'm still under the regular care of a doctor and going through a lot of crap that I never thought I'd still be going through, and so I understand, but someone said maybe he's still having issues post-COVID.
Could be.
Who knows? I don't know. But the question
every person's different, and everybody's reacted to this who's had it differently. So, no, I'm not saying anything. It could be. It could affect him a year down the road.
And he had a bad
we
case
don't know.
Of it. We know that.
Yeah, and it could be bad. All of the above what I just said.
Yeah.
But the question I have is, so you got a guy that you haven't used now. Today's day 7. He hasn't pitched since June 16th. So then why isn't he on the IL? Is he just not available? Or like how?
I have no idea.
It seems a little odd.
It does seem
right?
odd. It does seem odd, and you expect to see him, especially with the stuff he has and some success that he's had so far, to see him in some games. It is strange. It is strange. And I thought the same thing. Where's Stallmont? That would have been a really good spot yesterday to get him into that game.
Nor if he was 100%, you would have seen him, I would think, at some point.
I would
in
think
game.
So, too. But why isn't he on the IL?
What's it like to have a dead arm? When they say that, it's kind of a blanket statement. But
there's no pain. It's not really pain. It's just like there's just no snap to your fastball. You're breaking ball. Your arm kind of drags through the zone, your pitching zone, as opposed to that normal whip that you have. And you're going, well, you know, I can still throw. It doesn't hurt. It's just not the same as when you're feeling good, when you feel strong and everything's right.
And you just got to get through it eventually.
Yeah. Eventually, you got to get through it and. The issue is the guys throw so hard anymore, you can't. When we pitched, guys were, you know, there was a lot of guys who were in the mid to upper 80s, and, you know, you couldn't really tell that much difference, but a little bit. Now it's a big deal. It's a big deal because the guys throw so hard that if you get a dead arm, you really tell the difference.
And they said that he was trying to compensate because of the dead arm and lack of velocity, and that's how he jacked up his knee. And so, I mean, who knows? All I know is he's not on the IL, and it's been a week, and thought they could have used him, so we'll see if they use him anytime soon or eventually goes on the IL. We got Mike Boddicker in studio back after this on WHB.